Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Are you tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card?
Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime.
So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve.
Limitations apply.
See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Just watch me love myself. That's all I want. Got what I want. That's all I want. I'm not sorry.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
And this is Love to See It, an obsessively detailed recap podcast about reality dating shows like The Bachelor and other pop culture that makes us laugh, cry, and curse the patriarchy.
We can't live with these shows and we can't live without them, but we can break down every juicy moment and unpack all the weird messages these shows send us about love, sex, and dating. Welcome to Love to See It, a podcast about the transition from meeting on a reality dating show to hosting a reality dating show.
That's right. Today we're talking to none other than JoJo Fletcher, our 12th Bachelorette, and her winner and now husband, Jordan Rogers, who are currently hosting The Big D on USA.
Welcome to the pod, JoJo and Jordan.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Good to be here.
We are so excited to have you. And we have been watching The Big D, so we have a lot of questions.
It's wild.
It's so good.
I'm really enjoying it.
I binge watched the whole thing. I was one of the lucky ones that jumped on a little later. But man, when you just have it all in one row, it's so good. And then I found out there's not a new episode. So I got to wait.
Because like episode 3-4 is when it starts to crazy stuff really starts happening. Like relationships start to form. And so now you're like, oh, wow, this is.
Between episode, I think, was it either 4 or 5 or 5 and 6? We're on 6 now or 7?
7 this week.
Okay. Yeah. I was like unhappy that I had to wait a week. Yeah. And I was like, I know what happens, but
yeah, you're like, I've lived
what
this.
What happens right now.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. So before we get into all of that, first of all, you two got married last year. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How has married life been?
Just pure bliss.
Not really any different, I feel like. We got married. We traveled. Well, first we had to push the wedding a couple of years. So it felt like we were like ready to be married. And then we waited a couple of years because of COVID. So that whole kind of made it an interesting situation. But we traveled a bunch after the wedding. And we went right into remodeling, finishing this remodel, the house that we're in. So it was like zero stress, happy stress. Oh my God, what's happening? We need a house to live in. So now we're coming down and we're enjoying it. So it was a heck of a first year. It was awesome.
Yeah. You know, honestly, like we've been together 7 years now. We took a long time to engage before we actually got married, which I think I've always said, like, time was such a friend of ours in the beginning infancy stages of our relationship. But, you know, it's like nothing really day-to-day has changed, like not day-to-day life. But I will say, like, after we got married, there's this like weird sense of like security and like not that anything changed between our dynamic or relationship, but you really just feel like, all right, this is my person for life, you know? So it's like this weird unspoken like thing.
Yeah, for sure.
No, because you just mentioned that too, how time was on your side. Because, you know, it's hard with the Bachelor and Bachelorette. Some couples come out and of course make it all the way down the aisle. Some, you know, work at it. It's hard to figure out how to navigate post-show, I imagine. How did you guys sort of, you know, figure that out? Going post-show, being together in the real world and working on your relationship, you know, away from the cameras.
It was hard.
Very.
It was very hard. I think we did ourselves a favor by right after we got together. You know, I think a lot of times, like, you know, the show is such a whirlwind, right? And it's one of the biggest shows ever, right? So you have this huge platform spotlight on your relationship, on each other. Like, and I feel like for us, going right back to normal life as soon as possible was very important to that. So we didn't stick around in LA. We didn't do all the, you know, appearances and all that jazz. We didn't want that. We went back home. We actually I think it was a week after AFR, we went to move from his house in Tennessee to Texas, and we just jumped right back into normal life. I think that helped, but obviously that doesn't mean that you're not going to have conflict and struggles with just a new relationship under a spotlight. And we dealt with that.
I mean, the show, like, it's reality TV. So you don't get really any time off camera. So everything you see is everything that our relationship was to us. Minus the fantasy suite night, which you stay up all night because that's the first time you get to talk with no cameras around. Like, you're fact checking and double checking all these things to make sure, is this person exactly who they seemingly have appeared to be? But after the show, you know, you never face adversity on the show. You never have a bad day, right? You never just are in a bad mood and you got to figure out, okay, how do I deal with my relationship and work and stresses and life? And so we didn't communicate well. We didn't know how to communicate in real life. And we struggled for a long time to figure out what this relationship looked like, how we balanced the expectation and the spotlight that we had with the realization that we had a lot of work to do and we wanted to make this work, but it was taking a lot of work.
Yeah.
So that whole first year was kind of a learning process for us before we were like, okay.
That makes so much sense. Like, you're building the actual foundation of a relationship, and the Bachelor is this like weird constructed reality where you are like being encouraged to open up in these big ways and make these big emotional declarations. But yeah, you don't have any of the actual building blocks that you would have formed in those first couple months if you were just dating in the real world. So there's all this expectation and also all this work to do. And I think it like makes sense that you guys are doing so well, given that you did go back to your normal lives and also take the time to date and be engaged before jumping right into marriage.
100%. Like, the first year, we've been very open about it. It was a very hard year. There were many times where we had to look at each other and ask, is this best for us? Like, we love each other. We know that, but is this best for us? Right. And so it was work, and we, you know, first year was a trying year, but thankfully there was like this moment where we just were like, okay, we're committed to this. We've gone through hell and back, you know,
can't get any worse.
And we love each other, but it would be okay if it wasn't right for us. And neither one of us said that that's what we wanted. And so we made that commitment, and it's just, you know, it really helped our relationship.
Yeah. You made it through that and marriage. And now you two are the hosts of USA's The Big D, a dating after divorce reality show, which for anyone who hasn't watched, we recently did a whole bonus episode on it. But how is The Big D originally pitched to you? What made you guys like jump at this opportunity?
At first, I feel like we were like, to our agents,
they want us.
No, we're not. At the time, we weren't even married yet. I was like, we're not married. We obviously haven't been divorced. Hopefully we're not going to get divorced. Like, are you sure you're talking to the right people? Like, but honestly, once we kind of learned and talked to the creators of the show about really the vision for it, it was everything you want from reality TV, right? The drama, the exes, the dating, the breakups. But it was so much more than that, because divorce is really not talked about, right? As much in public, on TV shows. It's kind of this taboo subject, and it's got a lot of negativity around it. And the goal was to bring people together so you can form healthy closure and you can find, you always say it, hope after heartbreak. Like, there can be another chapter. It doesn't have to be the end of something. It can really be the beginning of something true and new. And that's, we like that about the show.
And honestly, like, and I always like to say this, when people first heard about the show, they're like, you're promoting divorce. And it's, we're not promoting divorce. Every person that's on this show got married thinking they were going to spend a lifetime with this person. And the reality is that they never had, divorce was never a part of the plan for them. The reality is that is sometimes what happens, right? And the entire world can agree that life happens, and sometimes you end up parting ways. And I have friends, I have family, my parents, before they met each other, they went through a divorce. And I remember having conversations with my mom saying that when she went through that first divorce, she thought she was such a failure that she had let her kids down, that there wasn't going to be another love for her. And, you know, when I think back on that, I'm like, she's not a failure. Like sometimes it doesn't work out. And so it's a really beautiful show in the sense that like, we're bringing these people together. Of course, it's going to be dramatic. The cast is hilarious and crazy, but all of them really want that closure and to find peace and healing with that past relationship so they can all move forward and, you know, have that second chapter in life.
Yeah, that to me is such an odd criticism to be like, you're promoting divorce. Like divorce often is the healthiest and best thing that people can do for themselves and their family. So that just feels a little silly. But I was curious about what it was like for you two as a never been divorced couple to lead people through the process of dating after this very specific experience that they had gone through.
Yeah, I think that was part of the pitch to us was right, like, hey, we want successful relationships in this. This is not just a chaos train wreck show. And the creators kind of looked at us as an example of that. You guys did fall in love in this crazy reality TV environment. So we really lean into the fact that hopefully we can help some of these contestants, divorcees, navigate the craziness of TV.
Yeah.
Because it is weird. There's cameras everywhere. You're getting asked to open up about things. You're confronting your ex. You're kind of starting to have feelings for somebody else. Like, it's weird. And so for us to be able to stay there and go, hey, if you do this, if you lean into this, if you open yourself up in this way, like it can actually happen. It's weird, but like love can happen in this crazy reality television environment. So hopefully we're examples of that. Hopefully on and off camera at times we helped talk through some of these scenarios with all the divorcees.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? Like to this day, 7 years later, all people stop me and say, is that show like real? Like, are you guys really like a couple? I'm like, bro, we're married. you know, so it is. People still don't realize that like you actually can meet somebody in this way. You actually can form true connections and relationships because you are, it's very unique. You're separated from the outside world. You're having to face and confront issues head on, where in the real world, you cannot answer your phone. You can hit decline. You can walk away. It's like, this really kind of is this like, I don't know.
Pressure cooker.
Yeah. Pressure cooker. And it's sometimes scary, but like when you get through it, it's amazing when you can get through it and what comes out of it.
Yeah. Cause I think the thing with me, at least for the Big D, is like, like this has to be a weird thing for divorced couples to be dating other people while their ex is, you know, on the same island, hanging out, dating people as well. So what
not
did
ideal.
You,
not ideal.
Yeah, not awkward at all.
Awkward, a little awkward.
So obviously, like, how did you help or what did you want the cast members to kind of get out of the experience in terms of navigating that, but also navigating that reality show, of course, aspect of it?
I mean, I think for us, like what we wanted, and as we started to learn a lot more about each individual, and like we could see that like everybody had a different story, but they all had a common theme, right? And it was like they truly, even if they said that they were fully over that past relationship, they hadn't closed the door on some aspect of it. And there was something from that previous relationship that was hurting future relationship that they, whether they hadn't moved on from a pain that they experienced, or they hadn't let go of a guilt that they experienced from walking away. It was all kind of rolling over into when they were trying to date again. And I think that they realized that the more they talked about it and the more they talked to other divorced couples and heard their experiences. And then with Dr. Jada, which she's the relationship therapist on our show, she was incredible. And like, there's so many times that you don't see on the show, but that she was having one-on-ones with the cast almost daily towards the middle of the season. And there's so much that came out of it.
I think the best part is a lot of people early on were like, for an example, Takur and Didi, very toxic relationship, right? Takur can't let her go. Didi wants to move on. And everyone's like, well, why don't they vote Takur off? Why is he still here? It's like these conversations, albeit they are ugly and they blow up, they would never happen in the real world.
And it's still affecting Didi.
Because they wouldn't be forced to sit there and confront it. And also, they have a support group around them. So not only would this conversation never happen, it's happening. They have people around them that have been through it that are supporting them through these conversations. So having, forcing them to go, okay, do it, confront it and move on. Let's get healthy. That is what I love about it. Because that's what we wanted out of the show first. And then as second, new love and new relationships, rekindling.
We love love.
I mean, same, same. That is why we come back to all of these kind of shows. I wanted to talk more about Dr. Jada's role. I think you touched on the fact that like some really tough conversations and some dynamics that I think to viewers watching, you might see specifically Dee Dee and Takur and be like, that is really unhealthy. Is specifically, like, is Dee Dee okay? Is this being handled in a way that's healthy?
Yeah.
What kind of safeguards did the show put into place to make sure that everyone in the cast was like emotionally safe throughout this process?
I mean, I think, you know, going into this, we had always, it was always at the top of mind, like, we want this to be a healing space, right? Mm-hmm. There's going to be hard times and it's going to be dramatic, but we always wanted it to be a healing space. And like, anytime things would get heated, and I said, obviously you guys don't see it on the show, there was moments where you have to take a beat, yeah. Right? We take a beat. Dr. Jada, like I said, when it started to get to that point, she was kind of on call, right? Yeah. Because she was such an amazing resource to the cast, to individuals, to the couples, you know, to navigate those situations, right? Because we're not doctors, you know, we can give advice, we can break things up, but her insight and her way to read situations,
de-escalate situations,
give people the tools to navigate through them was, I wish every show had somebody like her attached to the season, whether it's just off camera to have a resource to deal with some of that mental, emotional kind of challenges that they're dealing with, or on camera. She was, you know, I say that for every show.
Was she talking to contestants both like, or cast members both on camera and off camera?
Yeah, I think you maybe only see 20% of maybe her conversations. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a, like, I think cast members were unsure, like if they had that as a resource at first. So the first couple weeks and weeks, they weren't sure, wait, can I go talk? Oh yeah, yes. I can talk to her. Book her up, like go talk to Dr. Jada. Like, and a lot of that wasn't on camera. You only have so much you can put on camera in an hour show. So I think she did a ton behind the scenes as well.
Yeah.
You don't get to see, you get to see little pieces of it on scene as well.
Just so amazing and so important. Cause you guys didn't have anything like that on The Bachelorette, right? Like no one to go talk to.
No. Now I think that they've implemented that after the fact. But no, not for my season.
We were just roughing it.
Yeah. How would that have been like a sort of a lifeline for you? Because it's such a hard journey, I imagine, to navigate. So having that support is probably game changing.
It probably would have done wonders for us in that first year. Cause I remember like there was a point, like when we kind of hit that all time, like, okay, now we got to figure it out. We both recognize there's things that each of us could work on. Right. And whether that was therapy individually before we came, you know, as a couple, or whether it was, you know, whatever it was, like if we would have had that earlier on, we would have been able to implement it so much sooner to where it didn't have to get to that point. You know what I mean? Thankfully, you know, I always say like that point that we got to wasn't fun, but I think it's what saved us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, I just think that resource is just so helpful, whether it's just individually, whether it's as a couple, like I'm so supportive of it.
Yeah, we're big proponents of therapy on this show. So we're going to take a quick break, but when we're back, more with JoJo and Jordan.
Can you keep up? I like love it.
If you want to bring coziness into your life, and I mean, who doesn't? Turn to Barefoot Dreams, especially right now, because the brand is celebrating their 30th anniversary.
With those 30 years of coziness, Barefoot Dreams celebrates being the originators of everyone's favorite luxe home blanket.
There's a reason why Barefoot Dreams has been on Oprah's favorite things list 6 times.
Dressing head to toe in Barefoot Dreams is the key to comfort, as their collection of ultra soft robes, loungewear, and accessories are made with premium materials.
And their products make the perfect gifts too.
I would certainly love to be given something from Barefoot Dreams. I just acquired the robe, and it is like the softest robe I have ever put on my body. It's so cozy. It's so warm. It's beautiful. It has a nice drape and weight to it. I wear it whenever I have the opportunity. I just want to wear it constantly. And I think everyone should have that kind of comfort and coziness in their lives.
For Love to See It with Emma and Claire listeners, you can get 15% off of your first purchase at barefootdreams.com with the code LTSI15.
Don't miss out on Barefoot Dreams' soft, soothing fabrics that will bring luxury to your life. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Sometimes there will be something that is just like nagging at me, bothering me about something in my life, and I just swirl it around and around and around in my head and don't quite know how to address it. And something that can really help me sort that through and like take action is therapy.
I completely agree. I've been really stressed lately because I've just been getting sick over and over again. And before I know it, I'm feeling a lot of emotions and I don't even connect where they're coming from with the actual origin. We all carry around these stressors, right? And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively.
Therapy is a great safe space to get things off of your chest and figure out how to actually work through whatever's weighing you down.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/love to see it today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/love to see it.
One in five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list, as they should, because it's very important.
If that's you, then make this year the year you finally check it off your list with Babbel.
Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Wow, that is really fast. Their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world.
Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I personally used Babbel before I headed off to Paris for 3 weeks, and it was so helpful, just kind of giving me back the basic understanding of French, allowing me to interact with people in restaurants, in shops, and, you know, just not make a total fool of myself when in a foreign country.
Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners.
Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
And we're back. Obviously, it was a really long journey for the Big D to actually make it to viewers. Quite a process. How did you guys and how did the cast kind of handle that like super long gap between filming and it airing, especially when I imagine there was a question of whether it would ever air at a certain point?
Yeah, TV, especially in this day and age with streaming, and there's a ton of behind the scenes converging stuff you don't realize that is happening. This happens a lot more frequently than I think people realize. So we were initially just like, man, like, we just love this show. We want somebody to see it anywhere. Yeah. Right? We don't care where people see it. I think it ended up in a great home. I think I love the fact that it's on USA, it's on linear cable. So if you have cable, you can watch it every Wednesday night. But also, we're in a streaming world. And you mentioned too, like being able to binge, hey, oh yeah, that's right, I've been meaning to watch that show, go knock out 6 episodes and then hop back on the train with the last few live. I think that is the ideal scenario. Yeah. That's what we love about it, because we hear feedback from our fan group and a lot don't have, a new generation doesn't have cable. And so the ability to go stream it, I think, is super important. So it was a long whirlwind where we were just hoping, like, I just want people to see it.
And I'll tell you what, I would have cast, like, some of the old contestants, like, they'd be hitting me up on Instagram, like, what's happening? Can we just be like, they are so excited about the show, too. So when people ask, you know, like, how are those contestants now? And I think the majority, I've spoken to all of them, they loved the experience, right? Mm. It was such a great experience for, I can't speak for them, but from the ones that I've spoken to, they were like, man, it was rough, but like, I would not have changed a single thing about it. So they were excited to see the show come on. And then when they got the news, they were stoked. But yeah, it was almost what, 2 years, a year of them just, hey, what's happening here? What's the status here? We're waiting with you.
Yeah, I was just excited to see a reality dating show featuring a lot of people in their 30s.
Yeah.
Yes. Just,
you know, want them to cater to me specifically.
People in their 30s who've been married and divorced and are dating with their exes. It's just, it's perfect television.
So yeah, we can all relate, obviously.
But what did you guys yourselves learn, you know, as the hosts of the show about marriage and divorce? Because I'm sure you learned a lot from these contestants, because I sure did.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, I think first, like during filming, we were just talking about Dr. Jada. So like when we're not on camera, we're in the production house was right next to the cast house. And then the green room was right across the street. So it's all right there, but we're sitting in the green room area, us and Dr. Jada and wardrobe, makeup, a bunch of people hanging out there for hours sometimes waiting. It's reality TV. You may plan to go on at 8 p.m. It may be 11 p.m. before you go on. So there's a lot of kind of sit and wait. And so we got hours and hours of unsolicited therapy sessions with Dr.
Amazing.
Jada.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
loved it.
What a perk.
We'd see something on the go.
Talk about it. She'd be there and she would give her insight on it, which was sometimes like, I didn't even think of it that way. Like it's so crazy how like everybody has a different perspective, but like she has just so much knowledge and tools on how to like navigate those things. And I think for us too, like, you know, when you take a step back and show you, realize like we're not perfect. No one's perfect. No relationship is perfect, right? It takes work on both sides, right? So I think that like when we step away from it, we're like, we can, now that we have seen some of the tools that Dr. Jada have given them, we understand that like some of these couples got a divorce and they are starting to realize that like, wait a second, what we divorced over, I think we could have worked. Wasn't a deal breaker. Mm-hmm. We just didn't confront it. We didn't have the tools to navigate through it. And so that was kind of a realization, because divorce is so final. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not something that anybody takes lightly. So to see that, you're like, wait a second. Like that's a surprising thing to recognize.
Yeah, a lot of the couples too, like seem to still have those connections where like they were leaning towards their ex more so than any, you know, new person they were meeting.
How about Devin and Alexis? Those two show up at the beach. Episode one, they're like, I'm single. Don't want to see you. Yeah, I'm dating. I'm ready to mingle. And like right away, they're like, okay, the attraction's still there. And then they start to realize it really wasn't us. It was kind of more her mom meddling in their relationship a little bit too much, some being young and not communicating right. So they've been a fun one to watch because they didn't want anything to do with each other when they walked in. It wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like we're having all these conversations about closure. And then all of a sudden I'm like, they're just back together. Fully. Now.
They're fully back.
And then I also wanted to say,
they got divorced. They signed papers. Like it's crazy.
Yeah. It's wild.
Hey, that's what, you know, again, they're dating, they're watching their ex date. And I know, Jordan, you had that experience with JoJo, sort of watching her date other people. It probably really makes you realize that you're in love, like, or you really want to chase after this person because, I don't know, maybe a little envy and a little jealousy starts to pop up, you know?
Well, you know, guys,
it wasn't healthy. And I think that's one of the things they start to realize. And it wasn't like, so there's a longer sort of conversation that I think played out with them and Alexis, but I do think that had something to do with it. But once they started getting to the exercises and the conversations with Dr. Jada, you start to see like Devin realized there was a lot of growth he had to do. And that at first in the relationship, he didn't think that it was anything that you know what I mean? Like it was not me. It was not my fault. And then he's starting to realize like, I'm seeing things a little differently now. So it's.
He also didn't have to sit there and watch, you know, 25 other guys try to date the girl that he wanted to be with. I guess it wasn't 20. Yeah, by the time I really knew I wanted to be with, it was probably like 10, which is still way too many. But I'll say what's interesting about that dynamic is as guys, you know, you will play it cool, right? You don't text back right away. You know, it's like when you're in an environment like that, you start to see her look at other guys. You're like, oh, if I really like her, I gotta up my game. I gotta show her that I do have feelings, which was kind of my struggle the whole time. I was trying to play it cool, but I really did like you. And it was just,
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like unlearning those like toxic gender dating things of like, I'm not going to, I don't need to show emotions. Totally. It's not. Yeah. Yeah. You're like, no, I got to go after it. I have to tell her I like her.
Right.
I like that. So obviously you guys have been on both sides of reality dating TV as contestants, cast members, and now as hosts. What was it like for you to make that transition and kind of be on that production side?
We loved it. I will tell you, it was an easy transition because I think that we both like love this type of show in general. Like we were fans of Money TV, dating shows specifically, and always, you know, loved the behind the scenes stories of it. And so to be on that side, I think being host was something that we really loved because in this show particularly, you know, we've hosted a couple of shows together. Mm-hmm. This one felt like it was something that we could give insight to on an experience we shared together.
Yeah.
So that was really cool for the both of us. But man, you just get so connected to all these stories and these people and you root for them. And like, we would stay up till like 2 a.m. just watching behind the scenes. And there were times where we would go in because, I mean, there was a moment, I mean, I don't know if we've seen it yet, but with Ben.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, off camera, sometimes we went in and talked to some of the cast members when we just maybe like, there's one point where I saw something that I recognized. I remember having those feelings on a dating show and getting overwhelmed. And so it wasn't for the cameras. I just went and talked to one of the cast members off camera and said, hey, I felt that. And here's kind of how I worked through that. And here's why I'm so glad I did work through some of those feelings. But I will say, we're like kid in a candy shop. You walk into a production office for one of these, and there is a whole wall of TVs. I mean, 20 different screens. They see everything. And we could put headphones on and like, well, I want to cue into this conversation on that camera. And we'd just be listening. And it'd be like, hey, what are you listening to? What are you watching? And we would just sit there the whole time watching this play out because we were just so invested in these cast members. We really started to care for
them. And we wanted them to feel like, we wanted our role to feel like they had somebody to talk to, right? Like I feel like on my show, like you're so secluded. I had Chris Harrison at the time, he was the host, and I was able to have a relationship with him. And like, kind of that's who you talk to when you're sitting and waiting to film. It's the host and one or two producers. And like, I just remember feeling so thankful to have somebody that was kind of like not involved that I could just talk to, that I could vent to. And from the get-go, we wanted all of these people to feel like, hey, like, we're your friends. Like we've been here. Like we're not just somebody that's going to go in, say a couple lines and peace out. Like we always want to be here if you need us just to talk. Like I might not have the best advice, but I'm going to try and I'm going to be a shoulder if you need it. And so we both did that for some of the cast members, which was really cool.
Yeah, that makes sense. Obviously the experience can be super isolating. How did taking on this role change your perspective on specifically reality dating shows or like your own experiences going through that on the cast side?
Well, I think the Dr. Jada thing, like I said, was major. Never really I've always been a proponent for therapy, right? But I've never really been in the middle of something where I'm seeing how incredible of a resource that is in real time, you know, because I think in real time, when you don't know, when you're feeling all sorts of things and you're in an environment, which isn't conducive sometimes to being able to like, just figure it out, like having somebody that can help you do that is so helpful. And so I think she was the biggest one for me.
I mean, I look back, I can't imagine how much of a resource that would be down the stretch when we were filming our show. And I am weeks away from realizing, okay, I now love this girl. I'm contemplating wanting to propose and spend the rest of my life with her, having an unbiased voice just to bounce those feelings off and help me process them.
Yeah.
That would have been huge, right? I mean, just to have that. So we've said it before, but I think every reality TV show needs to have this as a main component, whether it is on camera, off camera. Like it's so valuable to the health of the cast members and also to ensuring that you end up with something that ends up being real.
Yeah.
More real than it maybe would have been.
Right.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. How does the production of The Big D compare to The Bachelorette for you guys?
Well, The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, it is a huge show.
Huge.
You have hundreds of people involved in that show, right?
12 cameras around you at a date, you know, and it's just two of you.
It's just, it's a lot at once, right? That show has been on for forever, right? It's a huge show. The big D. We're a tighter knit group. We're a little bit more intimate. So
a lean team.
Yeah. And I think it's also meant to be set up more so that you don't feel the cameras as much, especially around the villa and around the house. Whereas when we're on dates or on the Bachelor Bachelorette, like, you know, they're there, they're right in front of you. They're all around you. For better or worse, I think we wanted the villa and that environment, the group environment, to feel very organic. And so we could get organic communication, organic drama, organic romance at times when people sneak away.
Yeah.
It's not a camera directly following them, but we got them. We know where they're going, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not, you know, sitting in the jacuzzi with the camera right in front of your face.
Literally
a lukewarm jacuzzi where it's not actually on because you can't disrupt
at a dinner where you're not eating the food because you ate 20 minutes before the dinner.
Yeah.
Oh, you ate? That's good that you ate. I mean, that's good to hear. There's always food sitting around them.
Yeah, at least they fed you. Speaking of The Bachelorette, you recently made a guest appearance on Charity Season.
Yeah.
That was super fun. The Barbie date.
Perfect date for you guys. The real
truly,
life Barbie
truly
and Ken.
Perfect. Yeah.
Honestly, that was a fun date. Like that was the first time as a couple we've been back on the show.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like, I've done a few different things for different things, but as first time with us together. So it was kind of like, oh my gosh, we're like back in the saddle.
Yeah, you're like, we're back on the saddle, in the saddle, but we have so much more control now. And that was really nice.
But
you're like, we're not quite back in it.
Yeah. It was fun. The Barbie date was fun. We got to meet the group of guys that Charity was with. And on our date, at least, they were a fun group of guys.
I loved them.
Jordan had like a little mini bromance with one. Not bromance.
Who? Which one?
What was the guy? He liked your shirt. Tanner.
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 Okay. We were just talking about.
What? What's happening?
No, he just got sent home.
Oh, yes.
Poor Tanner. Yeah, you know, wasn't meant to be.
But we like Tanner. He just needed a little more, you know, he didn't get as much
nice
screen
guy.
Time.
I think he's going to thrive in paradise. That's my prediction. I was wondering, like, did you have any other favorites? Was there anyone that you saw and you were like, Charity seems to be really into him?
I loved Joey.
Oh, Joey.
He's great. They had a very
great connection,
good chemistry. But I will say on our day when we were there, this is obviously, we knew nothing about the guys because the show hadn't aired. But she seemed to have good chemistry with a few of them.
Yeah.
Which is awesome, right? Sometimes that doesn't happen.
And even off camera, she was mentioning like, no, I legit have
multiple
real connections with guys. And she
like who?
She didn't have
what did you tell us the names of them.
Yeah. Oh. It's really, wow, you're
tight-lipped.
I know, because
you needed to bring more gossip.
But she did say that she really, when I mentioned to her that I thought her and Joey had a good connection. And I mean, her face said it all. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Have you guys been keeping up? Because, you know, hometowns are next week. Joey's there. She's going to Joey's hometown. Who
all
else
right.
do we have, Emma? We have Dotton.
Dotton.
Aaron.
Xavier and Aaron.
Yeah. Dotton was there. Yeah.
I'm so curious.
Hometowns are great. You know what's the hardest part? So a little behind the scenes of hometowns. Whoever is last in hometowns, you have so much time off. I mean, you have been filming every single day, and I was the fourth hometown. So literally, there was like 12 days where I was just in LA with my producer doing nothing. Can't do anything. Like, we would go to a movie. Like, we were allowed like once or twice. We could go out of the hotel. I went to a James Bay concert, like incognito, like hat down. You know, but I'm just sitting around going, she's just hanging out with a bunch of other family, sitting over here waiting.
This point in the show is a great point, though, because it's the first time that you like have to miss someone for a period of a
time,
which is in the show, you're seeing them at least every single day. Like you're seeing them. So I remember for me, like, that's when I was like, oh, really kind of miss Jordy. Like, what, you know, like, wonder what he's doing.
All time.
Yeah, I imagine it would be telling because I bet some people you're like, wow, haven't thought about that one in a week.
You start to realize who you're thinking about more when you're like on these individual dates. Like, you really try to stay focused on each relationship, and each relationship may be amazing. But like, this is a good like telling stretch.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we're back, more with JoJo and Jordan.
Can you keep up? I like love it.
Okay. So you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, you know, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. Article believes in delightful design for every home.
And thanks to their online-only model, they have some pretty delightful prices, too.
Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, hi Tyler Cameron, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs makes furniture shopping simple.
Plus, they're dedicated to really thoughtful craftsmanship that honestly stands the test of time and looks good doing it.
Article offers fast, affordable shipping across the US and Canada. Plus, they won't leave you waiting around. You pick the delivery time and they'll send you updates every step of the way.
I have long been an Article girly, like every room of my house. My apartment, you can see Article furniture in. Most recently, we updated our balcony, you know, just in time. It's finally balcony season again, finally warming up in New York. And I have been out there with my coffee, sitting in the Toady Beach Sand dining chair, which is a great little lounger for a small space, again, New York City apartment. And it just really like elevates our deck. That and the ottoman we bought to go with it. So comfortable, so chic. Also can withstand a whole lot of rain.
So important. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
They're having their Memorial Day sale from May 13th to May 27th, which would be the perfect time to use your store credit on top of sale prices.
To claim, visit article.com/LTSI and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
That's article.com/LTSI for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
And we're back.
So we also wanted to ask you about your thoughts on The Golden Bachelor, who's recently been announced.
How good does that man look for 71 years old?
He looks great.
He's turning 72 in like a week.
I thought it was Jordan just with one of those little like age filters on. You know what I mean? Slightly aged.
I hope I have all my hair in that and not that many wrinkles at 7. I'm like, this guy could pass as 50.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
We are really excited about this because it is something like the Big D that really has not been tapped into at all.
Yeah.
And to see what dating in that sort of phase of your life looks like. And what type of drama do you even have at that age? Like, you know what I mean? Like they've already been through it. They're wise beyond their years. They're solid. I'm so curious.
But also we were talking about it with someone else and we're like, then again, like I think as a 20 or 30 year old on that show, you're a little cognizant of if I do something too crazy, like I might not be able to get the job I want to get someday, or, you know, how they're going to look like, hey, I mean, you know, you're in your 60s and 70s, like, ah, well, whatever.
Yeah, you're like,
I don't even have a Twitter. I don't have an Instagram.
He's got nothing to lose.
Oh my God. My favorite thing was that Gary got Instagram specifically for this show. It's Gary spelled like Jerry. It's very confusing.
I was having somebody confirm that for me because I've heard both so far. So, okay, Gary, good to know.
Okay.
It's Gary. I looked into it because we were going to talk about it on the podcast and I was like, it's spelled like Jerry. I'm very confused, but it is Gary.
Gary. We used the wrong name.
Yeah.
Not your fault. He's going to get that a lot. Yeah. I think it's, look, the spelling is confusing. But I feel like maybe this is the injection of freshness that the Bachelor franchise needs. Like there's been so many other big reality dating shows. And I feel like sometimes the Bachelor has a bit of a hard time evolving. And this is like, this feels different to me.
That show has been going on for so long now. It's they probably don't know this is like the big next thing, right? Yeah. It's like, how much can you do that's differently from the original concept, right? Which the concept works, people love it. But this is such an interesting take. I'm almost like more excited about it. So weird.
Same.
Yeah. I feel
no, like, honestly, I feel like there are a lot of people I've talked to who've been like, oh, I've fallen off the last few seasons. Like, but I just got kind of bored, but I'm coming back. I'm coming back to watch people date in their 50s, 60s, 70s.
You think partly, I think the allure of that is like, I think occasionally, and maybe in this day and age with social media as crazy it is, and you know, you go on a show like that, like you can have a big bump in your salary, your life, you like whatever it's you real. Want afterwards. There's been a little bit of like, what is genuine and what is not, right? As social media has taken over, like who is on there for the right reasons? People love to say that, but I feel like you're really going to get a genuine relationship and love story on this show. Like, you know, no doubt you're going to get it. If you saw Gary's backstory, I watched it all. Like, I'm excited about that because like, I actually want to see love. I want to root for love. And I feel like at times in the digital age of dating shows like this, it's tough to really feel like you're rooting for someone that is truly genuine.
Absolutely. I think a lot of us have been exhausted by all of the like emotional trauma porn that's on these shows. And sometimes we just want to, we want to see it get somewhere nice at least at the end.
Yes. And I think an older man might have more success to find the right partner because clearly Gary's going to know what he wants. I mean,
I think Gary's
he's not going to waste time.
I think Gary's going to come out with the next, like the, his second soulmate out of this. I really do.
I want that for Gary.
Me too.
So before we let you go, what is next for you guys as a couple and professionally?
What's next, Jordy? Hopefully it's season two of The Big D. We loved doing this show together. We love hosting shows together. It's been, you know, something that we kind of fell into and we realized like, we actually kind of thrive. Like people are like, how do you guys work together? And we're like, I don't know, but like, we really like it. It's like one of the fun things we do together. So that, I mean, I would love to see that. The show is such a great concept and I think has legs. But we're each working on all of our own stuff. Jordan has football season coming up.
It's about to get real busy, real crazy.
Yeah, I've been working on like, I have a home decor line I started, you know, last year. I just launched a new canned spritz. So a new canned cocktail called St. Spritz, which I don't know, you know, I'm just adding things to the plate, but it's been the great like addition to my hump days on USA. I have a spritz in one hand, I have the remote in the other hand, and I'm like, I'm set. Wednesday,
you're like a spritz, Temptation Island, and the Big D. Yes. What more does one need?
No, it's perfect.
No.
Yeah, and then you just need Gary. Just you know, add him to your watching. your watch list, and we'll be set.
sounds absolutely heavenly. So, guys, thank you so much for joining us. This was so much fun. Please come back anytime.
This is fun. We'll come back whenever you want us.
So Lee, we just hopped off with JoJo and Jordan. They are stunningly beautiful and have really good wallpaper behind them in their dining room. I don't know where they were, wherever they had their setup.
Such good. I mean, their house, if that's their house, is so beautiful. As are they.
We got a little bit. We got to see a little bit of their house because we were having some tech issues. Technical so they issues. Kept having to change rooms and we were like, ooh. Beautiful, beautiful home.
We love to see it though. You know what I love to see too? The fact that she calls him Jordy. Like that just melted my heart. The whole Jordy, JoJo and Jordy are Barbie and Ken to me. They're charming, so cute.
They really are. And I feel like they are just such natural born hosts. Like even in the way that they answer interview questions, you're like, oh, this is their job. They are very professional. I thought it was interesting what they were talking about with Dr. Jada and therapy, because I feel like that's always something that I have a question about, like, what is the best way to kind of integrate that into reality TV? Like, I think it's pretty essential that that be a resource that people have off camera. And I do wonder, like, what is the line between making it something that's both fodder for on-camera storyline, but also a resource for off camera actual therapy.
I see what you're saying there. Because, you know, it is interesting to watch it unfold on the Big D, especially with certain people who you are hoping get therapy and who you're hoping are talking about their feelings, some of the toxic traits they're presenting. But I, you know, when I heard them talk about the fact that they didn't have anybody like on set for them during The Bachelorette, that's when it becomes more clear that I feel like it's more important to have that sort of behind closed doors for the contestants rather than like kind of throwing it out there on screen for like us to witness. I don't know. There's definitely a balance. I do find that interesting again on the Big D. I find it interesting to watch those sessions, but well, the real work is probably done off camera. Like,
right. I totally agree. I think it is. I don't think it's a bad thing to have a therapist on call to kind of lead people or through a process or a counselor of some kind. Obviously, there's a reason that shows like couples therapy are really popular. You can conduct therapy, I guess, while it's being witnessed as long as everyone is consenting to that. But yeah, I hope that all of these shows have enough of a separation where it's clear, like, this is something that is happening off camera and won't be used for production purposes. And this is just a resource to keep you mentally and emotionally safe within a process that can be very taxing and potentially emotionally and mentally unsafe. Mm-hmm. I'm not even saying the Big D specifically, but yeah, a lot of these reality dating shows, as obviously we've heard through like many reports about Love is Blind and The Bachelor and a lot of reality shows, it's like it really feels like it should be something that's just industry standard to offer that off camera.
Yeah, and I loved hearing their own experience like post show, like post leaving The Bachelorette together and having to like really work on their relationship. And they said they spent like a year, you know, in therapy, like just kind of talking out their issues because, again, they didn't have that resource back then. I think it was 2016 when their season was filmed. And they're one of the few couples who have like actually made it down the aisle. So it shows you have to put in the work, like especially after going through an experience like that. It's not all like roses, as they say.
And I think it's just such clear evidence that like, if you make it off of a reality show, that's just, you were lucky enough to meet someone that's actually a good match for you on reality TV. But you're not actually being given, I think, the healthiest baseline on a reality dating show. Like in many ways, coming off of a show like The Bachelorette or The Bachelor sets you up for failure because there is such a high level of public scrutiny because you have been pushed to accelerate your relationship in very specific ways while not having, again, those basic building blocks or like an understanding of what someone's day-to-day life is and how you might integrate into that. And so I do think it is a testament just to both their luck and their dedication to the relationship, like any of these couples that have made it. Like you happen to find someone on a reality dating show, you can find someone on a dating app, you can find someone anywhere. But also there is a lot of work required in making a relationship healthy and sustainable, and especially when you are also dealing with like a whole media circus around that relationship.
Yeah, the pressure is insane. As we see too, even with like the Love is Blind couples, you know, like they're racing towards the aisle and then the show's over, the cameras leave, and they're kind of left to figure out who this person is that they're married to now. Like they're actually married. So, you know, that pressure for me would be too much, you know? And we see that even with The Bachelorette and The Bachelor, more people are talking about, you know, even Xavier this week, talking about like how he's unsure if he's ready for that. Even though you go on the show, you know, knowing that an engagement is what you're like striving for, it's still really hard to process like the closure of like marriage, engagement. Like, is this your person? Do we know enough about each other, our morals, what we believe in? Like, did we talk enough? Do we really know each other? It's kind of a mixed bag.
Right. And you're like, the answer is no. The answer is no, that you're just taking a leap and you are showing your commitment to this relationship by getting engaged, and you have every right to like end that engagement if it doesn't work out, right? Like that is sort of how you have to look at it, because yeah, they're just, you don't have enough information. Like that's just true.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll see like Love is Blind couples on the Big D like next year.
Oh my God.
To walk through their
divorce. Like a really, really dark, like rotating.
It's sad. It really is, because characters. Like, especially with the Love is Blind people, again, like, you know, they're married and divorce is like a big thing where, you know, if you end an engagement, it's still major, but it's a little easier
at
than
least
having
you can
to
just
like
break up.
Yeah.
I know. You would almost hope that the show would like pay their legal fees. But I can't imagine Love is Blind does, given that like there are reports that they don't feed them. So I'm not really holding out high hopes for that production company. But yeah, was there anything else that stuck out to you in our conversation? Or like, do you want to see a second season of The Big D?
I do. I'm curious where they would take a second season. Like how they would change it up. I'm looking for like, you know, I'm finding the drama is a little less than some of the other shows. Like I need a little more to sustain me maybe. but I love them as hosts. I could see them hosting for like the rest of their lives. They have a good dynamic between them. I know Jordan, like, you know, with football season and all that too. And I know they have a ton of like home improvement experience. But yeah, get them on Discovery Plus too. Those two they're meant to do it, I think.
Yeah, I think they are great hosts. They definitely have the skill set. And I also would like to see a second season of The Big D. I think I've been, you know, covering all of these shows for a living. I get really emotionally taxed. Mm-hmm. Watching too many like super depressing, overly dramatic shows. And so I sort of enjoy that the drama is a little more tepid on The Big D. Like I find it a little bit more relaxing. I do think that it does set up situations for some of these couples that could be potentially unhealthy. And I do still, you know, worry about that. But like I would like to see a second season. And I think that yeah, divorce is a pretty common experience. It's something that a lot of people have gone through. And yeah, I think that having also slightly older people make up the cast of a reality dating show, like it's not just people in their 20s.
Yeah.
I find that to be enjoyable too. And yeah, I think paired with Temptation Island, it makes a lot of sense.
It's a good mix. I do like, too, how The Big D, like, I like a lot of the couples on the show and how a few of them really support each other as exes and, like, see each other's strengths and weaknesses and are still friendly. I found that really touching, too, because, like you said, there's not many shows with divorce that cover, like, you know, what goes into that and, like, how you guys remain friends and even if you're
not.
Like, yeah,
or,
exactly.
Or, yeah, or how you decide that it's healthier to not remain friends.
And we need a new iteration too with, you know, when kids are involved. That's a whole other situation. Like how do you co-parent and remain? Like that would be an interesting, I don't know how you do a reality dating show, but
what's wild to me is some of these people do have kids and they're just never mentioned.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like they don't talk about that aspect of it. Like you have to remain friends when you have children. Like yeah. But yeah, I'm down for a Big D season 2.
Oh,
for
I should.
Sure.
You know what, Lee? Now I just realized that would have been a good question to ask JoJo and Jordan.
Yes.
Really fallen down on our task as interviewers, but I'm glad we got to have a little bit of time with them. It was a fun chat, and I guess we'll see if we get more of the Big D. I will be watching it through the finale.
Me too.
And on that note, that is it for this episode of Love to See It with Emma and Claire and Lee. Thanks to our guests, JoJo Fletcher and Jordan Rogers.
Love to See It is produced by us, Emma Gray, Lee Blickley, and Stitcher. This episode was edited by Talon Stradley. Our theme music is by Tamar Haviv, and our art is by Celine Chang. Josephine Martirana is our executive producer.
If you like our show, please remember to follow us, rate us 5 stars, and leave a review. And of course, spread the word in whatever way you can. to all of your friends about Love to See It.
If you want to get in touch, you can email us at claireandemmapod@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Twitter and TikTok at Love to See It Pod and on Instagram at claireandemmapod. And you can find our newsletter, Rich Text, on Substack at claireandemma.substack.com. I'm also on Twitter and Instagram at @EmmaLadyRose.
And I'm at @LeeBZ. We'll be back next week.
Stitcher.
Streaming May 23rd only on BET Plus. Miss Pat is back.
I'm excited.
And it's time for some grown-ass family time.
I am a man.
Oh, you a man?
That's right.
Then take my clothes off. You ain't pay for none of that on your back.
Dad, you can't ignore your mother forever.
I've tried.
Would you like me to backhand you again?
The Miss Pat Show. Streaming May 23rd on BET Plus. To sign up and learn more, visit BET.plus.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.